Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Are robots coming to take our jobs? A new survey suggests that many Americans think they are. The Brookings Institution asked 2,000 internet users whether they thought robots would be able to take over most human activities within 30 years, and over half said they thought it was somewhat or very likely. Daryl West is director of the Center for Technology Innovation at the Brookings Institution, also the author of The Future of Work, Robots, AI, and Automation, and he oversaw the new survey. Daryl, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
52% of survey takers think that robots will be able to do most human activities within 30 years. Were you surprised by that result?
I was not terribly surprised because we are seeing the increased use of robotics in a lot of different areas. Robots are being used in food preparation. Restaurants are starting to automate various procedures. There's a lot of use of robots in warehouses and in factories. In fact, in China, there are some factories that are fully staffed by robots at this point. So the fact that half of Americans think that most human activities are going to be undertaken by robots in 30 years is not a big surprise.
Wow. Did you ask them what kinds of activities they were thinking about when they thought most human activities? I mean, are people probably thinking about this in terms of jobs, or are they thinking, you know, across the board, everything we do at home as well as at work?
They certainly are worried about the widespread use of robots. A lot of people are starting to think about robots in the home. And so we know there are home cleaning robots that are becoming more and more common. We're seeing the increased use of robots for security purposes. In D.C., there actually are some areas that are now being patrolled by robots equipped with cameras. They go back to a human who can kind of see what is going on in a variety of different areas.
Well, you say that people are worried about the widespread use, but in fact, the survey had this kind of contradiction in it. 61% of people said they were uncomfortable with robots, but then 61% said they're not necessarily worried. They're unworried about robots and what they're going to be taking over. How do you reconcile those two things?
I think people are displaying some degree of schizophrenia in their feelings about robots. On the one hand, they are worried about robots and just, you know, what's it going to mean for jobs? How is it going to affect human life? Are humans still going to be in charge of things decades down the road? But on the other hand, they also appreciate robots because they know that for a long time, automation has made our lives easier. Robots and other automated processes have taken over routine, mundane, and physical activities. And actually, they do a very good job on those things. And that frees up humans to do more interesting things, more creative activities. So I think people are worried, but at the same time, they're optimistic that robots will make their lives easier.
And you saw that in the survey results when you asked people about whether or not robots would make their lives easier, you know, in the shorter term, in the next 5 years. And a lot of people said yes. So do you think that some of this worry about, you know, robots coming to take over our jobs and humans losing control of society, are those overblown fears maybe? Are those fears that are being fed by some media narrative or what people are hearing about robots? Or are they really warranted concerns?
I think the concerns are overblown to some degree in the sense that humans definitely are still in charge and are going to be in charge for decades to come. And so the fear that robots are going to become our overlords and run human activities and, you know, there are movies that talk about robots enslaving people, I think that's incredibly far-fetched. But what we need to figure out is ways to get the benefits of robots while minimizing the potential downside. So that's the challenge we face in coming decades.
And there are some types of robots that people want and are interested. What are those kinds of robots? Where do people want to see more automation and more robotics?
We asked them about several different types of robots and basically how open they would be to these types of things. And the things that people liked the most were robots that could clean their homes, which I perfectly understand that. Nobody likes to do
that. I am completely on board with that as well, yes.
And then also security robots. People were definitely open to that. On the other hand, the things they were less open to were robotic caretakers. So there are so-called social robots that can take care of babies, take care of aging relatives. People actually were not as keen on that. And I think that's an area where people actually don't trust robots. They actually think humans should be in charge of caretaking, and they're less likely to want to relegate that to robotic devices.
I've heard this kind of rule of thumb from robotics developers or automation developers that robots should do jobs that are dirty, dangerous, or boring. And that's kind of what you're describing there, that we don't necessarily want to clean our houses. We would love to have robots do that, but there are other places where we definitely want the human touch. Do you get the sense that overall, general public attitudes towards robots are pretty much in line with what robotics developers are thinking about and doing, or is there a divide there?
I think people definitely want to see the optimistic vision of robots, in the sense of robots doing the dirty jobs that humans either don't want to do or aren't as good at doing them. So the goal is really in coming decades to kind of move closer to that vision. But we still need to ensure that robots, artificial intelligence, and other automated processes operate according to human values. So there have been companies recently that have come out with code of ethics to govern the development of robots and AI systems. And I think that's incredibly important, that we need to make sure that this technology revolution fits within human values and respects common ethical principles so that we don't end up in a future that none of us want.
You mentioned governance there, and you also asked people in your survey about whether or not they wanted the government to get involved in regulating or overseeing the development and deployment of robots. What did they say about that?
We found sharp divisions on that. The public was basically divided in thirds. So a third were willing to have the U.S. government set up a federal robotics commission to regulate robot development and usage. About a third did not want the government to do that. And a third were completely undecided. Like, they really don't know how they feel about that. But the interesting thing is there were significant age breakdowns on that particular question in the direction of young people actually were the age category most open to government regulation. And some people ask me, well, you know, young people are the most tech savvy, so, you know, why do they want government regulation to come in? And people have to keep in mind that it certainly is the case that young people are the digital natives, or the people who've grown up with technology. They're the ones who feel most comfortable with it. But they also tend to be the age group that is most liberal. And so, therefore, they are open to government regulation in order to make sure that we get the benefits without the downside.
Darryl West is director of the Center for Technology Innovation at the Brookings Institution and author of The Future of Work, Robots, AI, and Automation. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
If that last conversation got you wondering exactly where the cutting edge of robotics research is and where it's headed, well, you might check out the latest issue of MIT's Tech Review. But be prepared for a distinctly old-school experience. The magazine is responding to the 21st century media landscape by revamping its print edition in the likeness of a distinctly 15th century invention, the book. Elizabeth Bramson Boudreau is CEO and publisher of MIT Technology Review, and she joins me now. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I feel like we should be chanting, print is dead, long live print. What prompted this particular revamp and the refocus or rededication to the print edition of the Tech Review?
So we've been publishing since 1899, and print has been a part of the Technology Review's tools for reaching an audience. But saying that, we've also been publishing online for at least the last 15 years. And what we're doing in this particular redesign is making sure that our print experience is appropriate to the way people use read and print today in 2018. So it is different from how people once took in journalistic content, which is to say that when people are reading a print magazine today, they're expecting that they're in kind of an immersive, lean-back kind of a frame of mind. So we have said, okay, let's have a font that is easier to read. Let's have paper quality that's a little thicker and feels a little nicer in your hands. But more importantly than those things, let's have these articles that all come together around a single theme and a topic, like a little book.
Give us some examples from this latest edition, the first revamped edition.
So as I mentioned, the theme of the issue is all about how technology is impacting the economy. So the articles in there range from a first-person narrative of a person who took on a job that actually had her designing a way of eliminating jobs. So that's called Confessions of an Accidental Job Destroyer. there's another article about how the robot uprising finally begins, which is really about how the way that robots are being used more and more for more difficult tasks, like in this particular example, putting chicken into boxes, pieces of chicken that are not shaped the same way, each one. And so the robot is learning how to pick up kind of hard to pick up objects, something that's kind of smushy and each one is slightly different from the one before it. And what's that going to mean for all the people whose job might have been to put pieces of chicken into boxes? And we've also got one of the nice features of our redesigned publication is that we will always have a single piece of science fiction, which is an opportunity for us to kind of take the reader on a little bit of a thought journey with us.
Do you see this redesign of your print edition as part of a broader trend in media? Are others recommitting and rededicating themselves to print? Or is this MIT Tech Review's effort to maybe lead in that direction?
I think anyone who is producing a print publication today is, I know, that they are taking a careful look at what is the model around it. And in order for us to really build that growth plan looking ahead, we needed to give the reader a reason to decide that if they're getting us digitally, they also would like us in print. And if they're getting us in print, they'd also like us in digital form. So what we really wanted to do was make our print magazine into a unique, valuable product in its own right. So I won't say that other publishers are necessarily going to follow that same path, but all publishers are having to take a very close look to the value that they create for their audiences around print and making sure that they are constantly asking themselves, what do I need to do now to ensure that I maintain that value?
That's Elizabeth Bramson-Boudreau. She's CEO and publisher of MIT Tech Review. Best of luck with this new foray and experiment, and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Until next week, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.